All the world is longing to know security. All the world is listening, trying to hear words they can believe. But there is only one voice calling us by name. One truth we can hold on to forever, He remains the same. Oh, I want you to know that God's love never changes. His love never fails. When the world is shaken, we can put our faith in knowing that His love will never change. Never separated, never far away. God alone is faithful, proving His love with the price He paid. Oh, I want you to see that God's love never changes. His love never fails. When the world is shaken, we can put our faith in knowing that His love will never change. God's love never changes. His love never fails. God's love never changes. His love never fails. When the world is shaken, we can put our faith in knowing that His love will never, love will never change. Love will never change.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Antoinette. Aren't you thankful that God's love never changes? Amen. We as a people, we're finicky. We're up and down. We love one minute. We hate the next minute. Amen. But God's love never changes no matter where you go, no matter what you do. You can go to the moon and come back. God still loves you. You can stay up on the moon. God still loves you. Amen. You can go to Venus. He still loves you. Go to Mars. He still loves you. Amen. You can act like you came from outer space. He still loves you. Amen. It matters not where you go, what you do. God's love never changes. Amen. I am so glad that His love never changes. Even when we are unlovely. Amen. God still loves us. What a blessing it is. Well, I've enjoyed going through here. We've got probably one more lesson next week, and we're going to wrap it all up and apply verses 24 through 26 next week. We're going to talk about this last piece of the fruit of the Spirit, amen. As I said before, it's listed in 9 separate entries, but it's still called the fruit singular of the Spirit. In other words, when God has a hold of you, all of these can be manifested in your life the same way that when you're in the flesh, these others in verses 19, 20, and 21 will be manifested. And He says, the works of the flesh are manifest. They're open. They're blatant. Everybody can see it. By the way, you've got these fattish folks that will wear their britches hanging down. Amen. And we were in the Walmart the other day, and I kid you not, there was a young man, his britches were at his kneecaps. And he was walking with one hand holding his britches up and with the other hand holding his groceries. I thought, what if this fella's got a sneeze? Something's going. Either britches are going to go down to his ankles, or he's going to drop all his groceries, or he's going to sneeze on somebody. And I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the control of the spirit. When you're looking at these fleshly things here, those things are manifest. This guy's britches would have been totally manifest. Amen. Notice what it says down there, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. What does that mean? Blatant, open, plain. Amen. And when you wear your britches hanging down, you got to hold them up at the kneecap, and you sneeze with groceries in your hand and you let them go. Guess what? You're going to be exposed. You're going to be blatantly naked in your britches. Amen. You say, preacher, have you ever seen that happen? My wife and I, praise God, we had a young person in our teenage group. Teenagers, don't you ever do this. The young lad had his pants hanging down, and somebody started messing with him. And then he started laughing. And in the middle of laughing, guess what happened? Wah! Them britches came straight down. You saw his blue underwears. I said, boy, pull your pants up. Everybody saw his nakedness there. And trust me, that is an embarrassing moment when you don't mean it to happen. His britches fell slap off of his bump. I was embarrassed for him. My wife was embarrassed. And I hope to God he was embarrassed too. Needless to say, he never wore his pants down like that again. He pulled them up, tightened that belt up, amen. Made sure they stood up. What happened? He was manifesting himself to us. The works of the flesh are manifest. That means they're open. They list them. There's 17 of them. None of them are good. And when you and I are walking in the flesh, that's what we demonstrate. But hallelujah, praise God, the fruit of the Spirit. He says, but opposite of what I just said, going this direction now. I was going left, but now I'm going right. I'm right with God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Amen. Foundational state that anchors me. Joy, peace of the emotional state that stabilizes me through any adversity I may come up to. But then my relational state to integrate me with others is long suffering. Amen. I can put up with some people. Gentleness. I can be kind to some folks. Goodness. I can just be a benefit to some folks. Faith. I can just trust God and trust His word. Meekness. All power under control. And then temperance. Against such there is no law. What is temperance? Temperance is self-control, self-restraint, or continence. I mentioned before, we as a nation have very little temperance when it comes to things. We need temperance when it comes to credit card spending. We need temperance when it comes to eating. We need temperance when it comes to shopping, Facebooking, internet surfing, earbud wearing, tattooing, earring wearing, droopy pants wearing, music listening, video game playing, TV watching, kids spoiling, sluggard sleeping, not working, government frauding, and et cetera, et cetera. We as a nation are one of the most lax, immoral nations that I can see right now, who used to be right with God. We are mimicking Israel in a lot of respects. One minute they're right with God, the next minute they're way out in left field. America is quickly approaching the term of lack of temperance. Lack of temperance. It seems that we go overboard in just about everything except the word of God and prayer. We're only going to give God but that much time. God, I don't have but about 30 seconds to pray today, so I need you to bless me for 24 hours with 30 seconds of prayer. Well, God, I want 365 days of blessings, but I'm only going to give you about 10 hours this year. Well, God, I want all this financial support from you, but I'm only going to pray to you for 5 seconds. If God really gave us what we deserve, we'd be in bad shape. If God really gave us what we asked for, we'd be in bad shape. If God did to us the way we do to Him, we would be neglected. Why? We neglect God whilst we are spending and spoiling and running and doing. We're forgetting the God who loves us and the God who saved us and the Christ who died for us. We as a nation need temperance. It's the last fruit listed, but it's one of the most important ones. One of the most important ones there. What is temperance? Temperance is having power over self. Having power over our desires. Having power over our passions. Temperance was used to describe a person who had powerful passions but kept them under control. A temperance is control over the flesh, especially our sensual desires. Paul used the word temperance in the Bible by explaining athletes in training, and he began to talk about how the athlete was tempered in many things. In other words, he watched his diet. In other words, he watched his exercise. In other words, he watched his sleep. In other words, he watched where he went. In other words, he watched the things that he bought. In other words, he took care of himself and he trained. And most athletes that are worth anything do train. They train. And the training is manifested in their playing. Now, they do it for something fleshly or worldly or self-satisfactory. Spirit of God didn't work that way. Spirit of God works to do what God wants done. And that's the difference between self-control and Holy Spirit control, as which temperance is. It is not self-control as we know it. It is not doing or not doing what we want, but doing what God wants. Now, by the way, God may want you to have temperance in dieting and not eating certain things. If you have an illness, it's in your best interest to have temperance and not eat certain things that will manifest itself through your illness. Many have high blood pressure. It is in your best interest to do what the doctors tell you by way of exercise and temperance in exercising. Some have high cholesterol. It is in your best interest not to eat fatty foods and to exercise. Others have other things that go in your body. Physically, it's in your best interest to have temperance. We're not talking about that, but that will help you. We're talking about temperance of the Holy Spirit of God who is in you, having all of you to do what God wants you to do. That's temperance. By the way, if God does through you what he wants to do, you will be tempered. Amen. Many of us have these ovens that have tempered glass. What does that mean? That means if you put ordinary glass in your oven and turn it on, it's going to break. But if you got tempered glass, it's meant to handle the heat and absorb the heat and not expand to a point where it breaks. And so tempered glass is necessary in the oven. God wants to do the same thing with you and I. He wants you and I to have temperance so that when the heat of life turns up in your life, in my life, we don't break. We don't shatter. We don't crumble. We know what to do. We know how much to do. We know how long to do it. We know what to buy. We know where to go. We know what to say. I'm not going to crack. I'm not going to crumble when the heat comes. Temperance helps us let the Spirit of God control us. Anybody can get on a diet and not eat certain things. Anybody can not do certain things when they don't want to do it. But the Holy Spirit says, let me do what I want to do when I want to do it, not when you want to do it. And that's what makes the difference between self-control and Holy Spirit control. We need temperance. Self gets in the way. Desires get in the way. Passions get in the way. And as a result, we begin to manifest the flesh, even sometimes under cover of being spiritual. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, I came to church, preacher. I must be walking in the Spirit. You could be just not wanting me to call you at home. Well, I read my Bible today. You could just be getting a notch on your little spiritual belt. What'd you get out of your reading? How submissive are you to the will of God? How much did you get out of that devotion? Well, preacher, I tip God. God doesn't need your tips. He wants your tithe, amen? He wants your tithe. And like Pastor White say, he's not going to get it, but you will be a rock God robber. And you don't want that. What is temperance? It's a result of the human will being brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. Albert Barnes, in his New Testament commentary, says this about temperance. The sense here is that the influences of the Holy Spirit on the heart make a man moderate in, get this, all indulgence. He goes on to say this. It teaches him to restrain his passions and to govern himself, to control his evil propensities, and to subdue all inordinate affection. That means unlawful affections that you have. The Christian will not only abstain from intoxicating drinks, but from all exciting passions. He will be temperate in his manner of living and in the government of his temper. Albert Barnes. J.P. Phillips says this about the word temperance. Such a person is loving, full of joy, calm and peaceful. Notice those first attributes. Such a person is loving, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Such a person is full of joy. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. He says such a person is full of joy, loving, full of joy, calm and peaceful, come what may. Hey. Amen. Hey. Think about that. Come what may. Because it may come. How many of y'all expecting a death in the family this week? It may come. How many of y'all expecting to lose your job this week? It may come. How many of y'all expecting your spouse to walk out on you this week? It may come. How many expecting your children to run away from home this week? It may come. How many of y'all expecting to get in a car accident this week? It may come. What am I saying? Come what may, temperance keeps me balanced. Because it may come. We just saw a young gal yesterday. Evidently, she was texting or she was on her phone and it plowed right in the back of the car in front of her. The airbag deployed. Her front end was smashed in about that much. Engine was all messed up. And I'm sure she didn't wake up that morning and say, I want to get an accident today. I want somebody to hit me. No, better yet, I want to hit somebody else. Better yet, I want to hit somebody in the rear. I want to see how my airbag does when it explodes. I'm sure she didn't wake up that morning with that on her mind. But guess what? It came. It came. John Phillips said, such a person is loving, full of joy, calm, and peaceful, come what may. Such a person is patiently submissive to God at all times and under all circumstances. They are gentle, good, completely dependable, strong, and quite above reacting to provocation. So if somebody provokes them, they don't react ungodly, they react godly. Why? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. So when I'm provoked, I don't strangle them. Bless God, I told you. There, that'll show you. Yeah, that really showed them. It showed them a clear picture of godliness. No, it didn't. It showed them that your flesh was in control. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Given a piece of my mind. Take it. Keep all the mind that you have. A mind's a terrible thing to waste. Above reacting to provocation, Paul warned of Felix about temperance in Acts chapter 24 and verse number 5. Turn in your Bibles to Acts 24. What are we talking about? Temperance, having a power over self, our desires and passions. Control over our flesh, our sensual desires. Acts chapter 24 and verse number 25. Paul here is brought before Felix. And as he's before Felix, he begins to witness to him. And he's giving him the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. He said, look, I want to hear from this guy named Paul. I want to hear what God has to say. Let me hear what this babbler has to say. Let me hear this God stuff. You have some people like that. Notice what Paul gave him in verse 25. And as he reasoned, he meaning Paul, of righteousness. What is that? There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. That's righteousness. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We are not righteous without the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As he reasoned of righteousness, what's that second word? Temperance. What is that? Holy Spirit control. Obviously, Felix was probably a loose man, morally speaking. He was probably a man that indulged his sensual desires and passions to do what he wanted to do. And Paul said, hey, look, Felix, you need righteousness. Hey, Felix, You need some temperance. You need some balance. You can't have any woman out there. You can't have all that intoxicating drink. You can't have all those drugs. You can't have all you want. You can't have all those wives. You can't do what you want to do. You need temperance, son. He began to reason of temperance. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, you know what follows that? Judgment to come. You can talk to your children all you want to until you blew in the face. Teenagers, young people, listen up. Y'all need to listen to your parents. They will reason with you about righteousness, a right way to live, what you ought to do. They will reason with you about temperance, how you need to have some control. You can't just have any old friends you want to have. Look at me. You can't just have any old friends. You can't just have any old thing. You can't just do any old thing. You need to have some righteousness. You need to have some temperance. You need to understand there is a judgment to come. You will pay the piper. More young people are stricken now with venereal diseases than any other time in history. And they're getting worse and worse and worse. There is one so bad right now that you can't even get rid of it. You will have that thing till times get tough. And as wicked as Al Capone was in Chicago, you know what he died of? A venereal disease. As wicked of a gangster he was, as wicked of a robber he was, as wicked as a bootlegger he was, his temperance got the best of him, and he didn't die from a gangster shot. He died of syphilis. Know why? Temperance. Paul is reasoning with Felix about righteousness of Jesus Christ, about his temperance, and about the inevitable judgment to come. May I lovingly say this as loving as I can. God doesn't want that life for you. And God doesn't want that life for me. He doesn't want us to have a lack of temperance. Young people, he doesn't want you to be captive to your own desires and your own passions. He doesn't want you to be a slave to what you want to do, because it will kill you. It will kill you. And so he's reasoning. And God loves us too much to leave us that way. Paul, in the love of God, preaching to Felix, is basically telling Felix the same thing. Felix, God doesn't want that for you. But you need to understand he is a righteous God. You need to understand that he wants you to have some balance and some control about your life, spirit control. Because Felix, there is a judgment to come. May I say this, if you're not born again today, there is a judgment to come. And unfortunately, those that have sinned and come short of the glory of God without the precious blood of Jesus Christ covering your sin, there's a judgment to come. And that judgment is hell. And God, the Bible says that that's made for the devil and his angels. God didn't make that for mankind. God loves man too much. We're created in the image of God. And so there is a judgment to come. Well, he says, judgment to come. Felix trembled. It means he quaked with fear. He shook. Young people, you know how it is when parents tell you you're going to get it when you get home? And you start shaking and quaking. You start trembling. Start thinking about jumping out the car on the way home in the middle of traffic on a busy street. Perhaps you might get run over instead of facing the wrath of dad and mom. Amen. I'll take my chances with the coming traffic. Amen. The last thing I want to do is face my mother. My mother, man, she was a vicious whooper. She'd whoop you and whoop you and whoop you all over the place. Say, preacher, why over the place? Because you jumping up and down like this, and you doing all this and doing all that and doing all this and trying to get away. And she's like, I'll catch you. Pow, 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 pow. You're all in your head. Mom, why you beat me on the head? Why you running? If you stand still and take your lump, they'd be all in your bump. But because you're not standing still instead of being on your bump, they're all up beside your head. If you just be obedient, stand still and take it like a man, like you sin like a man. Amen. Young people, by the way, your parents are not trying to hurt you. They're trying to help you with righteousness, with temperance, because there is a judgment to come. He said judgment to come. He trembled. He faked. He quaked with fear and answered. Notice this. Go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season. In other words, when I have the opportune time, when I have the right time. You know when the right time to get saved is? Right now. Right now. The time for you to get saved is right now. By the way, 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why is it important to have that time right now? Because you're not promised tomorrow, nor are you promised the next breath. My sending church, Bethel Baptist Church, had a missionary come into their church and preach. He died preaching. He died preaching. He said, man, I don't feel so good. And he sat down and they gave a pause and he slumped right over and died right there. You don't know when you're going to die. Hey, if I'm going to die, the best time for me to go is while I'm preaching. Y'all will be spared a sermon, amen. And I'll go to heaven. Hallelujah. Best of both worlds. Y'all get out early, I go to heaven early. Amen. I'm on my way. Praise God. Why y'all getting out of church early? Preacher died, amen. I know Pastor White, he said, put preacher in the ambulance. Y'all get back and sit down, amen. Let me preach to y'all about the judgment to come now, amen. Preacher knew where he was going, amen. Do you? Amen. Take him, Kenny, amen. Hey, that's the best time to start preaching. Somebody keel over in the congregation, amen. Hey, you may be next. What am I talking about? Judgment to come. Hey, he said, when I have a convenient season or an opportune time or right time, I will call for thee. There's no record of Felix ever calling for Paul again. He hoped also, verse 26, that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. He's hoping I can give you some money and get rid of you. Amen. Some folks say, well, I give God some money. I put some money in the offering plate. Does that make things right with me? No. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Now you keep giving. Amen. But that's not going to secure your place in heaven. Paul, in his epistle, talked about temperance for the Christian. Turn over to 2 Peter real quick with me. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, the introduction is lengthy, but the message is short. 2 Peter chapter 1. And as you're looking at 2 Peter, he's saying that when you get saved, you get all the Holy Spirit you're going to get, but you need to start working with that. Notice what he says in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us how many things? All things that pertain unto what? Life, how to live this life. And what? Godliness, how to be godlike in your character. Through what? The knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. In other words, he's saying, the more you know God, the more you know Jesus Christ, the godlier you'll walk and the godlier you'll live this life, the less you know, the less you're going to do. He says down there, whereby, verse 4, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, the precious promises are in the word of God, by these, what? These promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. You may have a full divine walking with God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What's that? Temperance? I've got the Spirit of God now, and so I have the capability to have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. But guess what? I got to have the knowledge of him who saved me. And beside this, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue or uprightness, moral character, and to virtue knowledge, become more knowledgeable of what you're supposed to do. And to knowledge, what's that word? Temperance. What is that? Holy Spirit control. And to temperance, patience. What is that? A cheerful or hopeful endurance. And to patience, godliness. What is godliness? Godlikeness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Love somebody else just like you. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Be a giver. What did he say in the middle of that, verse 6? And to knowledge, temperance. Temperance. What am I saying? Folks, in the New Testament and in the Old, temperance is something that we need. It's Holy Spirit control. May I say this? Our nation does not advocate temperance. They will try to tell you to be tempered in your credit card spending after you're already in debt. I remember when I was in college, they sent me a credit card. I don't even have a job. Only thing I've got is school debt. But they sent me a credit card, and I didn't have a job. And I so wanted to spend on that card. My mother said, boy, you better have some self-control. She said, do you have a job? Well, I got a little part-time job. She said, can you pay the bill? I said, well, yeah, I got enough for a shirt. She said, buy a shirt. Guess what I bought?
A shirt.
And guess when the bill came, guess what I had enough money to do? Pay it off. And guess what? Then I got a wife. And I wanted to impress her. And everybody and their brother gave me a credit card. I mean, I had a credit card for everything. If there was a store, they had given me a credit card. And preacher, my wife and I moved on base. They had no furniture, no washer, dryer, no couch, no bed, no nothing. You know what I did? Temperance said, shh. And it perched up on the corner of the house. And I went to all the stores and said, give me this, give me that. I want a washer. I want a dryer. I want a bed. I want a bedroom set. I want a 7-piece couch. I want it to be a sleeper. I want a dining room table. I want chairs. I want a, and it all came, and then the bills came. We went to the grocery store and didn't have money for food. Had a house full of stuff, but had no food. You know, one of the most embarrassing times is to go to the store and try to buy your wife a gift and your credit card gets declined. I'm trying to buy her a hair dryer, a sewing machine or something like that, and I go up there, pow. I'm sorry, sir, there's something wrong with your credit card. That's all right. Sorry, sir, that was declined too. Pow, 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 pow. I had to walk out with my tail tucked between my legs. I'm sorry, honey. Couldn't buy you a birthday gift. She's like, that's all right, honey. I still love you. Hallelujah. That wasn't tempered with something. Amen. That didn't get rid of it. She said, I still love you. But we got no money. You like beans and rice? I like beans and rice. That's what we're going to be eating for a long time. Beans and rice. I called the credit card company. I said, look, I paid y'all $25 last week. And I went to go use my credit card, and it still declined. See what happens when you get married at 19 and 20 years old? But they gave me a credit card. But I paid $25. They said, well, your interest was $35. So what you trying to say? Hey, I'm like, what you trying? I paid you $25. I should have at least $25 on this credit card. You know how that happened? No temperance. I spent what I didn't have. And I was in debt. Preacher, I didn't get out of debt till I went to Belgium. I spent 4 miserable years in Tucson, financially speaking, in debt. I told you the story. I had no temperance on my drinking. I had a credit card for alcohol. It stayed above $200. And they used to write your balance. I don't know if you remember that preacher. They write your balance on the credit card, so I tried to stand away so people couldn't see how much I was spending on liquor. Now, what you say? Trying to cover up that balance. Then I go in and they say, well, sir, you can't purchase anymore. Your balance is overdue. Can you just be discreet about that? And say, well, sir, you might want to put these items back because they're not good for you. Instead of just saying, you're overdrawn. You know how that happened? Lack of temperance. I'm so glad I got saved. God said, you don't need them drugs. You don't need that alcohol. You don't need those cigarettes. Back when I smoked, cigarettes were $1 a pack. You say, preacher, that was a long time ago. They're much more than that. I know. I'm glad I stopped when they was $1 a pack. Hey, I got saved. I stopped drinking and stopped smoking. I had tithe money, preacher. Can you believe it? I was a God robber before that. I was worse than Jesse James. I was Dirty Dawson. Amen. Pictures on the hallways of heaven. Dirty Dawson, God robber. My wife said, we need to tithe. I said, we need to get out of debt. She said, we can tithe and God will get us out of debt. I said, I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah. And guess what? I saw it. We started tithing with debt and all. And man, God just blessed. People start giving us stuff. People start actually giving us food. We could put them beans and rice to rest for a while. What am I saying? That all came because we had no temperance. He says down there, to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience, to patience, godliness. Let's go back in the Old Testament very, very quickly here. I want to show you a young lad that used temperance, the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 1, young man that used temperance in his life. By the way, Daniel in the Old Testament was a young man. He exercised Holy Spirit control or temperance to stand for God rather than defile himself in a wicked worldly society called Babylon. How did Daniel stand against his fleshly and sensual desires? He purposed or planned not to defile himself in his heart. Let me tell you something, young people, if you don't purpose to stand for God, you'll fall for anything. Because I had no temperance, I spent money that I didn't have on everything and anything because I didn't have any temperance. Daniel chapter number 1. What's going on here? The background is the children of Israel were taken into captivity. And the king wanted the best to stand before him. And he took all of the best. Amen. Notice down in verse number 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Notice this. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. In other words, he said, I want the best that you have. By the way, if you're going to take over a nation, you want their best or you want their worst? Yes. By the way, there's no difference now. They want to teach alternate lifestyles. You know what they're doing? They're teaching it to the best. They're giving to the young children before they get anything else in their minds. To teach them that it's okay to have two daddies in the house. To teach them it's okay to have two mamas in the house. To teach them sex outside of marriage is okay as long as you have some protection. To teach them drinking and things like that ain't so bad for you. To teach them that drugs ain't so bad for you, amen. I'll give you a little bit of medical marijuana, but you can have a little bit more, amen. Hey, they're trying to do it young. They want the young people. Young people, listen up. They want you. And make no mistake about it. It is not about they. It's about him called the devil. He's using they and them to get to you. So you say, well, the man made me. The man didn't make you. The devil is trying to get you to do something, and he still cannot do anything. The devil cannot make you do it if you have temperance. If you have temperance. What is that? Holy Spirit control. I hear a lot of people, I never drank and never did these things. That's probably because you didn't want to, but the Holy Spirit doesn't deal with it that way. The Holy Spirit said, this is righteousness. This is the right life. This is the way you ought to live. He says down there, he wanted the best. And the king appointed unto him, verse 5, a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. 3 years giving them the king's stuff. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave name, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart. He got a young man who is standing with everybody else that's a young person, and Daniel said, I don't care what y'all do, I'm not going to do it. Hey, there needs to be some young people today. Young people, listen up. Needs to be some young people say, I'm not going to do what everybody else does. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to purpose in my heart. I'm going to do what's right by God. There needs to be some young adults. There needs to be some singles. There needs to be some young couples. There needs to be some married folks. There needs to be some grandmothers and grandfathers. There needs to be somebody that says, I'm not going to do it. I don't care what everybody else doing. But mommy, everybody. Tell you like my mother used to tell me, you ain't everybody, you're somebody. And you ain't anybody, you're somebody. You mean something to me. And I'm going to protect you because you are somebody to me. And I don't care if everybody is doing it. You're somebody to me, and you're going to listen to me because this is for your good. Daniel purposed in his heart, it says. He decided in his heart that not to defile himself. This was no accident. By the way, you have flats on accident. You fix it on purpose. Somebody say amen. Daniel said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to have a flat in my life because on purpose I'm going to avoid the spikes that can flatten me. On purpose I'm going to do this. I'm going to protect myself as much as I can. Now, I may not be able to stop everything, but I'm going to do what I can do. He purposed. He decided in his heart not to defile himself. There was no accident. Notice his portion. Whatever was given to him was not to defile God's will for his life. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. What happened? He purposed in his heart to not have this portion, so he requested. He planned something. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He purposed in his heart. He had his portion removed. Amen. No matter what others did, Daniel was not giving in to this wicked worldly diet. He said, I'm going to request that I not get this. I'm going to plan it. I'm going to ask it. And I'm going to request that I not defile myself. By the way, God had already bought him into favor in verse number 9. And God had bought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. By the way, may I say this, young people? Hey, God, if you belong to God, God is going to put you in favor with certain people. Amen. So that you don't violate what he told you to not to violate. He's going to put you in positions where you're in his favor and you have his grace and you have his power to do what he wants you to do. Otherwise, he wouldn't tell you to do it. Everybody else, it seems, fell for this scheme of wickedness in Babylon except for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know why? They purpose in their hearts not to defile themselves. They planned and they requested to have their portion removed. Daniel requested not to have the defiling things for his diet. And God had already bought him into favor. He just had to stand and obtain the blessings of God. In other words, walk into the blessings and the grace that God had already established for him. I'm telling you that God is willing and able to help you to stand if you're willing to control yourself with his spirit or by his spirit to do what he wants you to do. You don't have to do it. You don't have to sin. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'll give you just a couple of for instances. If we purpose or plan to be in church, request to be here. I did. I told my boss, I said, look, I want to be in church. My boss said, well, you know we don't do that. I said, I know, but can I do it? Well, we're going to make you work over here. I said, you can make me work any way you want me, as long as I don't have to work on Wednesday or Sunday. You know what they said? Okay. Hey, we purpose to be in church and request it. We purpose to plan to read our Bible, schedule it and read it. If you purpose or plan to go soul winning, schedule it and go. Amen. If we purpose or plan to tell others about Christ, do it. We purpose or plan to pray, schedule it and pray. Never let it be said, well, I'm not prepared to pray. Get right with God and pray. Amen. You hear people say, brother so-and-so, I want you to pray. Well, I'm not right with God. Well, get right. I remember calling, one church, they called on a guy to pray. He was in so much sin. They said, oh, brother so-and-so, would you close the word of prayer? He said, the boy went into convulsions because he had so much sin in his life. I think he's like, God, forgive me for this. God, forgive me. Forgive me. Finally, he settled down and finally began to pray. Never let it be said that we're not ready to pray. I thought the boy was going to have a heart attack in church. Straight up. I mean, he was convulsing. I thought I was ready to see foam coming out of his mouth. I said, give that boy the Heimlich maneuver or something, amen. Hit him. He had so much sin that he could not pray. But praise God, he had the wisdom not to try to fake it. You got people that get up there, oh, Heavenly Father, forgive us for we have sinned. No, forgive you for you have sinned. Don't put me in your sin. You know you're not right with God. You know you've sinned. Don't say, well, Father, forgive us for we have sinned against you. We have all trespassed and gone astray. No, you trespassed. I'm confessing my own sin. You confess yours. We want to put everybody else in private sin that we need to confess with God. Hey, I'm saying we purpose the plan to pray, schedule it and pray. Don't say I don't have time or, I'm not right with God. Just get right and pray, amen. We purpose the plan to give, set it aside, tithe, or give offerings, give missions, amen. Just give. What am I saying? The incredible thing about Daniel was that he was a young person, probably a teenager, that was putting into practice that which he had learned. Hallelujah. Would to God we had a young person today that could go in a godless society and make a difference. They can go amongst their friends and shine for Jesus and not fall in and not give in and stand for Jesus. That's what we need. A young person that will go into their families and make a difference and show a difference and be a difference. Daniel purposed in his heart. A young person. Years later, you see Daniel being in charge of the kingdom. Why? Because he purposed
in his heart.
A young person, if a young person can do that, and three other young persons, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, can join him. Think of what you could do, young person, in your school, with your sports, in your community, with your family, at your job. Think of what you can do as a young person. Well, I want to fit in like everybody else. You're not everybody else. You're a child of the King, the Most High God. We sit with the princes of God, spiritually speaking. Daniel said, I'm not giving in. Hey, young people, if you purpose a plan to be pure, then don't fill your mind and surround yourself with impure things and thoughts. Don't look at impure television if you want to be pure. Impure thoughts will corrupt you. Impure music will corrupt you. Impure magazines will corrupt you. Impure internet surfing will corrupt you. It's no coincidence that the devil uses that realm to target young people. My son had one of these racing car games. Next thing you know, they want to flash all kind of lewdness at him. I said, you know why? They know young boys like cars. You know what comes with fast cars? Fast women. You know what comes with the NBA? A bunch of girls out there shaking their do thing. I'm trying to take it all off and showing stuff that they ought not show. I said, they know how to target you. They know to target you with their music and their provocativeness and with their gold and with their bling. The devil is no slouch. And if you and I don't have temperance, young people, if you don't have temperance, he will suck you dry and leave you destitute to go get somebody else. Because now you're no good. He doesn't want you anymore, but God is always merciful. He's always kind. He's always graceful, and he will take you back in. I'm so glad we have a forgiving God. I bet there were some other children of Israel that saw this and said, you know what? We should have stood. Look at how Daniel's blessed. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and man, they're 10 times better than I should have stood with them. Someone probably said, can I have some of that diet too? I'm with them. Hey, I would have. Well, I thought you was on that side. That ain't good. This side better. Can I have some of that y'all eating? Y'all 10 times fairer and fatter. Y'all smarter than us. And all y'all eat is, I can have me some pig feet over here, some ham and other wicked stuff. Amen. Drinking this wine, and I'm dumb as a rock. Hey. Spiritually good things for God don't happen by accident. Say it again. Spiritually good things for God don't happen by accident. They happen on purpose. Because we purpose to do or not to do something. Daniel purposed, he planned, and then he requested. That's Holy Spirit temperance. It's knowing what God wants you to do. And then placing yourself under the control of the Holy Spirit to do what he asked you to do when it comes to that thing. Whether it's staying pure or whether it's on purpose, avoiding something. He says, look, I don't want you to avoid that. He says all that stuff in verses 18, 19, and 20 back in Galatians is bad for you. Don't mess with that stuff. Don't put your mind on that stuff. Don't get near that stuff. That stuff will suck you in, amen. But listen to me. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, Holy Spirit control. I'll take care of you. Why? I love you. Because I love you. Daniel's an excellent example of temperance, of the Holy Spirit control. Of knowing boundaries and limits of godliness. Of knowing godly living. Of knowing what to allow and what to avoid. You don't find Daniel worse off by saying no to certain things. You find Daniel better. 10 Why? Because he said no. You know, and help me out here. You know, it's not going to kill you to say no to certain things. But it sure kill you to say yes to certain things. It's not going to kill you to say no. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to be with this type. I'm not going to give myself. I'm not going to expose my mind. I'm not going to be impure. I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go there. It won't hurt you to say no. The Holy Spirit's telling you no. It will only help you. But it can kill you to say yes. It can kill you. I know of people that have gotten put in jail, that have died being in the wrong place. Unnecessarily. Unnecessarily. Verses 18 through 21, all the things the Holy Spirit would have us to avoid. Temperance gives us the wisdom and control to do it like Daniel. What am I saying? Temperance is very, very important. Now, I'm not downgrading love. I'm not downgrading joy and peace and the foundational and the other state. I'm not downgrading those things at all. But I am saying, as Americans, we struggle with temperance. As Americans. I'm not even going to Christians yet. But as Americans, we have so much that we struggle with temperance. Because we have so much, the poorest of Americans is richer than the average person around the world. Daniel purposed in his heart. He exercised Holy Spirit control not to defile himself. Young people, I encourage you, know what God says to avoid and ask the Holy Spirit to help you avoid it. Like Daniel. Daniel knew what God would have to avoid, and he avoided it. But you can't do it in your own power, because the minute you think you're strong, you're weak. If you're here without Jesus Christ today, you don't have this power. You don't have this strength, and you need it. To you, God is calling. I love you. I died for you, and I want to save you. Say, preacher, I'm strong. I can do what I want to do. And at a convenient time, that's what Felix said. When I have a convenient season. But Paul encouraged him. He said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If God is speaking to your heart today, exercise your control to say, I'm going to get it settled today. I'm going to get saved this day. I'm not putting it off anymore. Young person, if God is calling you to be pure and stay away from certain things, say, I'm going to be pure. I'm going to do what it takes to listen to the Spirit of God, to let Him control my life. I'm going to give myself to Him, understand what His Word says, and I'm going to do it. Couples, husbands, wives, children, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, if you're saved, let the Holy Spirit have control. Temperance is so vitally necessary in Christianity today. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. If you're here today and you're getting baptized, I want you to go ahead and slip out right now. I know we've got two folks getting baptized. Ms. Bev will meet you in the back. Everybody else, heads bowed and eyes closed and we're looking around. Just for a moment. Those are being excused that need to be excused, but the rest of us need you to focus just for a moment. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, I want you to exercise some self-control and say, I'm not going to go another day not knowing for sure if heaven is my home. I want to be saved today. If you're here today, you're amongst people that love you and care about you, and we want to see you saved. And right now, right where you're at, if you would like to be saved, know that heaven is your home. The day of judgment is coming. This is for you. Why don't you let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a man, we'll have a man to talk to you. If you're a woman, we'll have a woman to talk to you. If you're a couple, we'll have someone talk to you together. If you're a family, we'll have someone to. But you need to make a decision today. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and looking around. If that's you today, with everyone's heads bowed, if you would like to be saved, just look at me right now. We'll have someone to come and show you how you can be saved. They'll take you to another room. Is there anyone like that at all here today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But if you want to be saved, just look at me. I'll acknowledge you. You acknowledge me. I'd like to be saved today. Man, woman, burger, right where you're at. I'd like to be saved. Is that you? Sir, is it you? Ma'am, is it you? Child, is it you? We want to help you. I too sat where you sat. Christian, how about you? You need to demonstrate some Holy Spirit temperance, some Holy Spirit control. Do what Daniel did. Daniel purposed in his heart. He planned to have his portion removed. And God brought him in favor. And he got the desire of his heart. Christian, perhaps you need to pray. God, help me to purpose in my heart. God, help me to plan to have my portion removed of the world. Maybe it's TV. Maybe it's videos. Maybe it's internet. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's some other worldly lifestyle. I don't know what it is. But ask God to have it removed. Plan on it. Purpose it. And then say, remove this portion, Lord.
Show me what I need to do to have a good meeting. Father, bless down the invitation in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Children will be coming in just a moment. God wants to deal with you and I today in regards to temperance. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on in your life. I do know that I struggle with temperance. God had to work in my life to get me to the point to show me that He wanted to be in control and not I in control of my own life. Wherever you're at right now, maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pray. Young person, what's your temperance struggle? Is it your music? Is it your movies, your magazines, money perhaps? Is it your mindset perhaps? Is it morality perhaps? Young person, why don't you pray and ask God to help you to purpose in your heart to be pure? And ask Him to give you a plan to have your portion removed. Whatever it is, maybe it's too much telephone, maybe it's too much TV. Or maybe you need to ask God to have it removed, whatever it may be. Temperance is necessary in America, but more important, it's necessary for Christians. We're going to be Holy Spirit controlled and Holy Spirit led. We've got to have temperance. We need to have temperance. Oh, the devil doesn't want you to have it. He wants you to be promiscuous. He wants you to be immoral. He wants you to do what you want to do. But I'm here to tell you there's a God that loves you. There's a God that will forgive you. There's a God that will take you. There's a God that will make you what He wants you to be. Say, preacher, you don't know how bad I messed up. You don't know how bad off I am because of my lack of temperance. I don't have to know, because God already knows. And God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Right where you stand, we're about to have a baptism. Perhaps you're not saved. Salvation comes before baptism. And perhaps you're saved here today, but you've never been baptized. Why don't you surrender for baptism? I'd be happy to talk to you about what you need to do to get yourself prepared for baptism. Perhaps you're here. You're already saved. You're already baptized. Perhaps you need to seek a church to belong to have your membership placed in, to be counted on the roll, to get involved and support the things of God. Perhaps this place is for you. If you're here today saved, baptized scripturally, why don't you come? Let us talk to you about church membership. I'll tell you what it takes for you to become a member of the Shining Light Baptist Church. Or perhaps God's just calling you to be more temperate in what you do. Follow Daniel's plan, purpose what God wants you to do, and then plan to request that your portion be removed. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the example that Paul gave to Felix and what Peter said we as Christians ought to have by way of temperance. Lord, thank you for the excellent example of a young person in Daniel as a child, as a young person, possibly a teenager, asking, planning, purposing, and getting his portion removed. Lord, help our young people to know one day they'll have to stand for themselves and make their own decisions. Lord, help them to be able to stand and make a difference wherever they're placed. And help them not to fall for anything, but to stand for something. Lord, we thank you. We love you for being a gracious God to us. Thank you for meeting with us, Lord. I don't know the intents of each heart here, each mind here, each soul here, but you know. Lord, take them and do with them and for them and to them what is necessary by the Spirit of God to improve our temperance. Thank you that you love us just the same. You want to manifest Christ's likeness through us and the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, prepare our hearts for the baptism that follows next. and the young people that will come in. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. If you would, just for a moment, have a seat, and we're going to go into our baptism. The children will be coming in as well, so adults, get ready to receive your children.